Pastor Tammy didn't say is I was dominating Packy Sack when she saw. No, I am honored to be here. Thank you so much, everybody. I said it during Rodeo Bible Camp that this is my favorite place to speak, period. And just so we're all clear, I'm a nobody that knows somebody. And
come on, that's exactly what it's about.
I am nothing special. I just know the special one, you know. And so I'm a very normal guy. I'm just a dude. I love God. I love my family. My wife is for sure the better piece of me. But we got four awesome kiddos. You'll hear them and see them later, I'm sure. And I've recognized many of you guys that have been coming here, I think, like 7 or 8 years. Riker, what's up, bro? I'm so glad you made it, dude. Good to see you, man. But I've seen some of these kids like go through Rodeo Bible Camp and now married, having kids and stuff. So I am honored to be here, and I want you guys to know that I truly, it's a heavy weight for me because I care about you guys, and this church is amazing, and this church has covenant with our church.
Yes.
If you don't know, I'm from Rain Church. We're in Vancouver. We have a campus in Kelso as well. My wife and I, we live in Yapholt, kind of outside of Battleground, and we've been serving at Rain, man, since I was a kid. I went through youth group, and became the youth pastor. I was not ready to pastor. I didn't know nothing, man. I just loved the Lord and found myself doing that, and I'm in a season right now where that season is closing, and we are raising up some leaders that will take over and be the new youth pastors of our church. So Shelby and I, we're moving into a different pastoral role at our church, which is super fun. And so, another fun fact, and I don't tell literally hardly anyone this, come on in. Everyone, this is my wife, Shelby. She is so bad. And she's holding our youngest. Her name is Honey. We call her Honey Bun.
Yeah.
Okay, I call her Honey Bun. But I don't want you guys to get it wrong. It's not like Shelby and I are traveling around speaking all the time. There was a season where I did a lot of that, and I felt like the Lord told me to stop doing that because my life was out of balance and my priorities were out of balance. And so I prayed and asked the Lord if he'd like me to continue coming here. And this is the only place where I felt like the Lord was like, oh, you got to go. You got to be about it. And I've never stopped. So any opportunity last year, I couldn't make it because I was doing one of the Peaches weddings. And I would say no to almost anything else to come here. So I just want to say I'm honored to be here, and I truly do. I take it serious, and I believe the Lord has a word for you this morning. Even if the topic doesn't, you know, if you think you've heard this, been there, done that, even within that, open your heart and your ears to the Lord, because I truly believe that he has something specifically for you. Does that sound good? All right, well, I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into it. Heavenly Father, we love you. I just thank you so much, God, for this wonderful day. We declare, Lord, that this is your day. I thank you for abundant life. I thank you for the cold. I thank you for Pastor Tammy, God. What an amazing church community this is. Thank you for the amazing work over Rodeo Bible Camp, that these students got to hang out, be in community, have fun, worship Jesus, ride horses, goof off, stay up late. And Lord, we thank you for the leaders, the volunteers, the adults, the people who are being generous with resources, God, to make that possible. Lord, I pray for your words in this sermon, God, that this is your sermon. I pray for your words and not my own. Give me your heart for your people. And Father, we love you. We open our hearts to you. Would you teach us your ways today in Jesus' name? You agree? Say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Well, one of my favorite things to talk about, I'm going to be talking about the Word of God this morning. The Word of God. This is something, if you go to church, if you've been to church, if you've been around, you've heard it a lot. There's a big emphasis on Bibles. There's a big emphasis on the Word of God. And so I believe if you are a Christian, if you follow Jesus, you ought to be reading the Bible. One of the most powerful things that I heard as a young man was, if you want to hear God's voice, read the Bible out loud. And it kind of blew me away because it was an aha moment. Because this book is God's inspired word. And God has preserved the Bible, protected the Bible. This is one of the most crazy books on earth. It is the most crazy book on earth today. So I'm going to be talking all about the Word. I'm going to be sharing a little bit more facts and statistics than I typically do, but I think you will have fun listening to it. I'm here this morning to tell you, if you honor the Word of God, then your life will reflect the Word of God.
Yeah.
How many of you know a Christian, or maybe you were one of them one day where you said, hey, I'm a Christian, but your life didn't line up yet, right? Or you see someone who claims, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, maybe they're a politician, maybe they're in leadership somewhere, and they're like, oh, no. Anyone know the Sophie Cunningham figure? Like that? I don't know if you're a Christian because your life says the opposite.
Yeah.
Let us be a group of believers that would say, hey, my life is going to line up and reflect, for the most part, right, the Bible. Hey, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. You can ask my wife. Like, no one in here. We're not going to be perfect, but the overarching theme, we should reflect and look a little bit like, a little bit more like Jesus.
Amen.
Every day. So, the Bible. Here's some general fun facts about the Bible. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. Ever in existence, there is no other book that comes anywhere near. It's estimated that well over 5 billion copies have been sold. Now, let me demonstrate teach you the difference. Okay, the difference in 1 million versus 1 billion, okay? Let me measure it like this. This is where this kind of blew my mind. 1 million seconds, I believe, is either 11 and a half or 12 and a half days. 1 billion seconds is 33 years.
Oh, wow.
You see the gap? And so we're talking 5 billion Bibles have been sold, and it's an estimated because it's hard to track, okay? This is the best selling book of all time ever. The Bible was written over a span of over 1,500 years, from around 1,400 BC to 100 years after death, by over 40 different authors and who are from all diverse backgrounds. This is a wild thing to think about. If you didn't know, the Bible isn't just one book, like a typical book, but there are 66 books within this one book. It's actually more accurately described as a library of books, okay? There is, I don't know, it's not quite in half, but there's two portions of this book. The first portion is before Jesus Christ. The second portion is after Jesus Christ. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament, both very, very important, both pointing to Jesus, talking about Jesus. Incredible. Moving on, it was originally written in three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Mostly Hebrew and Greek and a little bit of Aramaic. Those are the original languages that it was written in. The word Bible, it actually comes from the Greek word biblia, meaning books. It's actually a library of 66 books. New King James Version, there are 7,957 verses in there, which is about 770,000 words in this one book altogether. I didn't know that, so I started looking up stats. Kind of interesting. We believe in faith that every single word is inspired by God. Every single verse has a place. Every single book has a place. Everything that this book talks about, we value. Now, here's what I want to preface. When you read the Bible, and you, especially you're in the Old Testament, and you're reading some stuff, you should raise your eyebrow a little bit. There's some weird stuff in the Bible. There's some funky stories in the Bible. But what's beautiful, as you read those things, it should drive you closer to God, who we have a relationship with, to seek Him on, Lord, what does this mean? What? Why did this happen? Has anyone ever read the story of Jonah, the book of Jonah? One of the greatest books. I love it so much. I would love to preach it right now, but I ain't gonna. There are three chapters in there that are incredible. A beautiful story of a man who said no to God, he disobeyed, and all of a sudden God's like, well, here you go, buddy. You get to live how you want to live. And then he finds himself in the belly of a fish, and all of a sudden he gets, you know what? I'm so thankful God actually rescued me. The fish was actually the very mercy of God, and he came to this place of repentance while he was, you know, potentially going to die and all this stuff. He gets rescued, then he goes, and he finishes what God told him to do. He did it, right? He obeyed the Lord and lived happily ever after until the next chapter. Why is chapter 4 in the Bible? Why is it, like, it just says that Jonah gets, like, the whole city is saved, all this amazing stuff happens, and then Jonah gets mad at God. And he's like, why, God, I knew you would do this. Why would you have me do this? And he just starts throwing a fit like a five-year-old. I've got little kids. He literally starts throwing a fit. And it doesn't end. Like, it's as if there's missing verses. And I'm still asking God, like, Lord, teach me, what is up in chapter 4? I'm serious. Go read Jonah chapter 4, you know what I'm saying. But we're not going to know every little thing about Scripture the first time you read it. I love it when salty, angry, fake, pretend Christians say, I've read the whole Bible. I know everything you're going to say to me. Like, as if they are the authority and know everything about God. And here they are mocking our true Christianity, and yet they'll wield certain scriptures out of context. Because why? Because I've read the whole Bible. And they don't have a relationship with God. Okay? The second thing I want to talk about is your relationship with God is just as important as the Bible. It's just as important. You can read and know this thing cover to cover. You can have the whole Torah memorized. You can have entire books memorized. You can know every scripture by heart that I'm going to mention today. But if you don't know God, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Young people, hear me out. You can go to church, rodeo Bible camp, summer camp, go to Packwood VBS. You can listen to worship music. You can be on the worship team. But if you don't have a true relationship with the Father, you're missing it. You're completely missing it. You're in the New Testament. I'm not going to get too much into this, but Jesus absolutely destroys the Pharisees. Does anyone know who the Pharisees are? These were the religious leaders of the day when Jesus was on earth. These guys were the pastors and the teachers, right? Every time we saw these guys, they made everything about their life was all about works and being seen and earning their way into heaven, doing these things and hoarding the word of God and becoming the ultimate authority over people. And Jesus absolutely destroys these men. Like, he does not mince words. He destroys these guys and puts them in their place. Why? Because they didn't have a relationship with the Father. So Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says the words, many of you in the last days, many of you will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? Did we not do all these amazing miracles in your name? And I will say to them, get away from me, for I never knew you. You see, the whole point of Jesus Christ coming to this earth wasn't just to help us. It wasn't only that we have this comfortable life on earth. No, it was that you and I could have a relationship with God. That we could wake up in the morning, get up before the kids, go outside this morning at 5:45, 6 o'clock, I'm outside. A little chilly. I'm like, Lord, send some milk. I just want to see some more. I thought last night it was awesome. I'm sipping on coffee, cracked my Bible open to Proverbs, and I'm thanking God. God, this is your day. I thank you, Lord, for abundant life. Have your way this morning. I'm spending time with God. He sent Jesus so you and I could not only just be washed clean of our sin and make it to heaven, but that we would have a relationship with him today. Why does that matter? Because you need Jesus to fulfill the plan that he has for you on this earth. Come on, every Christian, we are on mission here. We're not just meant to live for our own lives. If that were the truth, I'd be fly fishing somewhere right now. Like, I would not be here. If I was just living for me, like, I probably wouldn't have got married. I'd be just doing my own thing. And look, hobbies are cool and that's awesome. But you're on this earth for a reason.
Come on. Good.
And as Christians, we're called to lay our lives down, our desires down, our flesh down to serve God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here's some awesome quotes about the Bible. This was really hard to narrow down. There's so many amazing people. One of my favorites, old time, he's not even that old. I believe he died in the early 2000s, but there's a man named Leonard Ravenhill. Has anyone heard about that guy? Okay, I encourage you, if you want to get your face rocked, read anything from Leonard Ravenhill. He will destroy you. It's great. But he said this. He said, one of these days, some simple soul will pick up the book of God, read it, and believe it. Then the rest of us will be embarrassed. But it is the truth. How about this man? Theodore Roosevelt said, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education.
Yeah.
Back then, college meant something. Not like today. I'm kidding. Not really. Okay. How about A.W. Tozer? The Bible is not only a book which was once spoken, but a book which is now speaking.
Yes.
Beautiful. It was once spoken and it still continues to speak.
Yeah.
Oh, how about this old fella, George Washington? It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible.
Amen.
Don't
Amen.
Let any of this progressive garbage convince you that America was not founded on godly principles.
Amen.
And not even just godly principles, but America, it is an absolute miracle
Amen.
That America yeah. exists today. Yeah. We're celebrating 250 this year. All of our, not all, most of our founding fathers had a deep, real connection and relationship with God. If you're curious about that stuff, to be honest, every one of us who are sitting in here, except some of our more seasoned people, and even some of you guys, you are educated wrongly in school. And if you want to know the truth, firsthand, secondhand accounts, and journals on how America came to be, I encourage you, write down this name, Tim and David Barton. They have written tons of books, they have tons of YouTube videos, all these things. But anyway, all of that truth is coming out in the name of Jesus, and we are going to take back our country. Amen.
Amen.
Moving on to other patriotic people, Abraham Lincoln. How about this? I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. Wow. How about John Wesley, old revivalist, total champ? I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book at any price. Give me that book of God. George Whitefield, God has God has condescended to become an author, yes, and yet men will not read his book. It's pretty crazy to think. In America, we have more Bibles than we can shake a stick at. You go into a hotel, guess what you're going to find? A Bible. What other book? Sometimes the Book of Mormon. I'll tell you, I put those right in the trash. I want you to know that. As a pastor, I throw them right in the garbage. Right where they belong. Just so you all know, that is not the same book. They are not.
Amen.
Not even another denomination. They believe so different. We love Mormons, but I throw every single Book of Mormon in the trash. Amen. All right. D.L. Moody, my last quote says, the scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. And that's what I want to talk about today. This book should be transforming you and I for the rest of our lives. Let me read you a story, and I've got 3 points to teach today. How many of you guys have ever heard the name William Tyndale?
Yeah.
William Tyndale. Big deal. Big old big deal. If you haven't heard that name, it's all good. You're going to learn it right here, right now. I'm going to do a little bit of reading, so lean in. William Tyndale, he was born in 1494. He died in 1536. He was an English scholar, a linguist, and priest who became one of the most important figures in the history of the Bible. His life's mission was to translate the Bible from the original Hebrew and Greek text into English. And his biggest heart was so that common people could read and understand God's word for themselves. His whole goal was that the normal person could just understand God's word. Okay? Why was this work ignored? Why was there resistance against this? In Tyndale's time, the Roman Catholic Church tightly controlled the Bible.
Yep.
People knew the power of the Word of God. It's very interesting. This is called spiritual warfare. The devil knows how powerful this book is. That's why it's the only book on earth you can still get your hand chopped off for having, your head chopped off in other countries.
Yep.
You could be killed and murdered if you smuggle Bibles into other countries. In China, they covet single pages of the Bible because it's Word of God. They'll memorize entire books because they can't have the Bible because they will be murdered. Okay? It's pretty crazy. So, a lot of things, a lot of resistance with this. So, in Tyndale's time, the Roman Catholic Church tightly controlled the Bible. It was only available in Latin languages most ordinary people couldn't read. Church authorities feared that giving people access to Scripture in their own language would threaten their control and power. They feared that because that's true. Much like America, everyone wants to scream and yell, keep the church out of the state, and the church doesn't, you know, belong in politics and religion should stay separate. John Adams, actually, the separation of church and state was written to keep the government out of the church. That is the truth. That is the reality.
Come on.
Do you understand? Culture tries to flip it. Oh, the church has to stay out of politics. No, 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 no. The church didn't do our job years ago, and we're reaping what we sow. In fact, it's to keep the government out of the church, like the Catholics trying to control the power with the Word of God. So Tyndale said, screw you guys, let's do this. Why was this dangerous? He had all the threats, all the things, but this is what he once said. I will cause a boy that drives the plow to know more of the scripture than you do, talking to the Roman Catholic Church. A common boy, slaving away, working for a living, he will know more of the word than you do,
yeah,
because they didn't have a relationship with God.
Yeah, right.
They were greedy, power hungry, people who need to repent.
Yeah.
Okay, his translation work. Tyndale fled Germany to work in secret, as translating the Bible into English was considered heresy. That's hilarious. In 1526, he published the first English New Testament translated directly from Greek. His translations were smuggled into England in bales of cloth and eagerly read throughout, owning them was illegal. Pretty incredible. Moving on, how did things change? After years of evading capture, Tyndale was betrayed by a friend and arrested in Antwerp, modern-day Belgium. He was imprisoned for over a year and found guilty of heresy by the Roman Catholic authorities. Doesn't this story sound a little familiar, that the government persecutes the man of God wanting to teach the word of God, puts him in prison, then later he dies on October 6, 1536. He was strangled, then buried at the stake. Here was his final words. Lord, open the King of England's eyes. How awesome is that? Wow. Just a few years later, Tyndale's prayer was answered. King Henry allowed the Bible in English, the King James Version in 1611, later used 85 to 90% of Tyndale's wording, making him one of the most influential figures in English Bible history. William Tyndale gave his life so that you could read the Bible in your own language. What an awesome story. So you and I could have this.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if you don't know, you don't know. But, man, we have so much to be grateful for.
Amen.
Right? We are so grateful for those who've gone before us,
yes,
and in our veterans, right, who have given us,
yes,
our country and the freedoms we have, and even preceding them, that we have people who died to get this word to us. We have disciples who,
yes,
put their lives on the line and died gruesome, gnarly deaths so you and I could have this.
Good.
Yet, we just let it sit and get dusty in our rooms and on bookshelves. So if you struggle to read the Word of God because of time, because you have a hard time paying attention, because it's difficult, I understand. Me too. All of the above. But I still do it. I still do it. When I don't feel like it, you know what I do? I still do it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
When I miss a day, you know what I still do? I pick it up the next day.
Yeah.
Right? We're not. No one's going to be perfect, but I know how important this Word is. I need,
yes,
God's Word in my,
yes,
heart. So I would encourage you, find a way that works for you. My wife, she loves to, she has audio Bible going, where she'll read the Bible on the Bible app, where it speaks to you, and she'll follow along in her Bible, and that helps her connect and immerse herself. For me, I like to read, and I get my highlighter, I get my pen, I've got a different Bible at home that's just like marked up and crazy, like I like, it helps me stay in the zone, notes and journal and all the things. I would encourage you, find a way that helps you connect well. This isn't about religion. You don't got to go,
amen,
and read four books every morning, y'all.
Yep.
Start small. Read a chapter a day. Get into Proverbs and a New Testament book. Like, make it simple. It's all good. God can work with what you give him, but you got to give him something. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Three things I want to teach today. Number one is the Word of God is our guardrails. It protects us, right? You know, when you're driving, you got those tight turns, and you see a wreck, and those guardrails kept that car from going all the way over. The book, the Word of God, it is our guardrail. This thing protects us. Psalm 119:105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet,
yes,
and a light to my path." My pastor, Pastor Glenn Johnson, many of you know him. I adore Pastor Glenn. He's amazing. And he says this. He says, most of our decisions as Christians have already been made for us. Majority of your life's problems, majority of the things you're wondering about, have already been decided, and the Word of God can teach you those answers. Have you ever had like situations arise in life, and you're like, I don't know what to do? I promise you, the Word of God knows what to do.
Yeah,
this is a great place to turn.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, I mean, is it that easy? What do you mean? If I don't know how to do these complex life situations, it is.
Yeah.
But you got to seek it like you're hungry for it.
Come on.
You know what I mean? We got people who will die to get the Bible. And we won't, like, open an app. What a freaking dope. You know what I mean?
Good work.
John 8:31 and 32, it says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word. The word abide, it means to remain. Remain. If you remain in my word, you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know what? The truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's go. How many of you guys, you know, we are in a truth epidemic in the world today. Good Lord, like, is anyone else just frustrated? We got people thinking that there are 48 genders. There's a whole group of our country and the world that can't tell you what a woman is. We got people who are confused about what bathroom to use. I'll tell you real quick what bathroom, bud. Real quick. We are in a truth epidemic right now where our little kids, this is the reality they're living in.
Yeah.
Some of you older people are like, yeah, that's silly and stuff. No, you don't understand how serious it is. They're teaching this crap in school. But I got to be on guard in my little school community. I live in a tiny town called Yakko. A little bit bigger than this, not much. Battleground, where there's gay flags flying in schools. Now hear my heart. Hear God's heart. God loves gay people.
Yep.
God loves people on both sides of the aisle. God loves the trans community. God, there's no question does God love them, but he hates sin.
Yeah, yeah.
And as Christians, we ought to know the truth.
Right.
And we speak the truth in love. We don't have to be jerks. We love people, but we stand boldly on God's word. You understand? That's what true love is. So, moving on to number two.
Good.
It's hard to know what a lie is if you're not speaking the truth.
Yeah.
Hard to recognize a lie if you don't know the truth.
Yep.
So you begin to believe lies of culture like, well, we should be loving and inclusive to every single person in the world. That's what Jesus would do, right? If you read the Bible, you would see how Jesus approached people. Did Jesus love people in the scripture?
Yes,
he did. But what did Jesus say? When Jesus encountered people who were in sin, he would love them and he would say, go and sin no more.
Amen.
Jesus, he gets to define what love is. A lie today, love is love. Love is all inclusive. Anybody can be anybody. Everybody can come on into America because that's love. Right? Is that love? If I love my children, is it truly, am I a loving father to let them do whatever they please for the rest of their life?
Oh, no.
Am I a loving father to give them candy over and over again? Am I a loving father, right? Yeah. See, that's a grandma's job. But real love, listen, real love cares more about the person than the feeling.
Yeah. Good.
So Jesus, when he sat down with the woman at the well, he didn't just say, oh, it's okay that you're in a weird relationship and you slept around. It's okay. You've had five husbands. No big deal. Come to church. We'll sort it out. No, he loved on her, gave her the water she needed, true living water, and said, go and sin no more. Imagine saying, go and sin no more to that person who might struggle with some of these sins. That sounds a little bit rough. It sounds a little bit harsh, but it's loving.
Yeah.
Because the truth is what will set people free. Now, we do this in love. We're not jerks. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, honey. So here's some lies that sound biblical but aren't. And if you aren't in the Word, you're going to fall right into the same category as the world. In culture today, there is a spiritual battle going on that is coming against the church. Why? Because the darkness hates the light.
Amen.
They squirm. The darkness hates it. You bring one thing up on social media and you get blasted and grilled, and that is a badge of honor. Praise God. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Yeah. Amen. Gosh, that's not even persecution. Get real. Okay, moving on. Moving on. Number one. These are lies that sound biblical. God hates sinners. No, right, that's off, right? God hates sin. He loves sinners.
Yeah.
God loves all people. Nope, God hates sin because it destroys his precious people. How about this one? Follow your heart. That's what the world teaches us. That's what Disney teaches you. Parents, you need to watch out what your kids are watching.
Amen.
You know what Disney loves to promote? It loves to promote dads looking like idiots and children rebelling against parents.
Yeah.
If you look at all these stories and all these, what is happening, it's very, very obvious what we don't want to teach our kids.
Right.
Okay, now listen, my kids are watching some Disney stuff here and there and whatever, but you got to watch out for what your kids watch.
Exactly.
Follow your heart is one of the dumbest things you can do, to be honest with you. How many of you guys would say, yeah, my heart is in the wrong direction a time or two? You have desires inside of you, believe it or not, that aren't perfect. You have desires inside of you where your motives aren't right. Boys, you got some desires in you, I promise, man, it ain't the right thing, and it's okay to lay it down. We all do, we all have, and that's normal. Here's what the Bible says, Jeremiah 17:9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick, who can understand it? You remember that relationship that you dodged a bullet, but you were so convinced you were in love? Every one of us like, oh, I'm in love. Nope, you are in lust. You got feelings, and they're cool. Praise God. That's something, God, you got to, you know, journey with the Lord. But our heart is deceitful.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get offended, and you're angry, and you start following the desires of your heart. Well, I feel like I should do X, Y, and Z. You start following those things, and guess what? You reap the bitter fruit of what your heart's desires are.
Yeah.
So we have to keep our heart in check with the Word of God. This is what keeps us in line, okay?
Amen.
How about this lie? Love is love. I just talked about this. Love is love. You can be anyone you want to be, do anything you want to do, blah, 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 blah. Listen, that is all true, but you cannot do those things in the name of God.
Amen.
I don't care how you are in New York. I mean, I care because I love people, but don't go and, love is love is a lie. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God because God is love. So when I hear this silly argument that love is love, that's a, you can think that all you want, but you cannot think that as a Christian. In fact, God gets to define what love is because God is love.
Amen.
Because God created. He's the creator, right? If I were to make a clay cup, right, and you come in here and I'm like, this is a cup I made, or maybe even just this pulpit. Someone made this amazing pulpit. It's so nice. I really like it. It's got a little bit of live edge thing going on here. Someone makes this pulpit. They could say, hey, I made this. I cut it here. Here's where this wood came from. Here's the stain I used. Here's why I made it. Here's its purpose. And you come in here and you try to tell me this is a toy boat. Well, that's not true. Like, the guy who made it gets to say what it is, right?
Yeah.
And it's in the same way, God, the creator, he defines love. We look to the Bible to define what love is. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient, it's kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, it does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. We should apply 1 Corinthians 13:4 to our life, and we're trying to be loving to our coworkers, our families, the randos in the street. If you find yourself getting bitter with politics and people and protesters and things, if you get bitter about that, you need to start praying, God, give me your heart of love for your people.
Good.
God, help me see these folks through the lens that you have, Lord. And your heart will begin to break for people.
Good.
All right, how about this one? Healing and miracles are not for today.
Life.
Healing and miracles aren't for today. It would be so easy to believe that if you didn't read the Word of God.
That's right.
It'd be so easy to be like, oh yeah, miracles, that's old-timey things. Like, that's like fairy tales, like those weird stories in the Bible. That's not for today. Well, I can tell you, when you read the Bible, you cannot prove it. You would have to get scissors and cut certain pages out of this book to prove that to be true. Not only that, but I'm living proof of miracles in my own personal life. Well, God has done miracles in my life. I've seen God do miracles in this church. I've seen God heal some of you guys, physical healing in this church. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit, and I have a prayer language. It's something that is hard to explain even, but there's miracles that happen today. But if you aren't in the Word, you would never open the door to that. God still wants to prophesy through His people today.
Amen.
Prophecy isn't just for a pastor or a person behind a little desk at a church. Prophecy is for believers.
That's right.
Words of knowledge, giving words, exhorting, all these things. This is the normal Christian life we should live with. We should have an expectation to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Why? Because the Bible actually tells us to. Weird. James 5:14-15 says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. 2 Corinthians, you can write this down, chapter 12, read that. This talks about the gifts in Acts 2 talks about the gifts, the Holy Spirit, all these different things. For the sake of time, I'm going to move on. Another lie that the world yells that you might think is biblical is my body, my choice. Has anyone ever heard that?
Many times.
My body, my choice, mostly referring to abortion. Okay. Now let me be cautious without caveating the world, because I'm done with caveats. The church has caveated itself to death. And we have nothing to apologize for. There's nothing wrong with sinning with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
The only caveat I have is this. God is greater than any decision you may have made in your life ever. Your sins will never outweigh God's love for you. So if you are in a position in this church where you had an abortion one day when you were young or whatever, you did that, you went through that, you need to understand that you are forgiven. God loves you. His grace is sufficient. He can transform you. If you're carrying baggage this morning, this is your morning to deal with that and give it to the Lord. Because God literally sent Jesus, so you don't have to live with that condemnation anymore.
Amen.
Praise God. You are a new creation in Him, okay? Amen. Now with this lie, my body, my choice, it sounds like, oh, well, that like kind of makes sense, right? It's me. But what the world says is your life is all about you. When you become a Christian, it's no longer the Jordan show. It's the Jesus show.
Amen.
He dictates where my life goes. He dictates what I do, where I work, who I marry, how I parent my kids. All the above is submitted to the authority of Jesus. So my body, my choice, we are unashamedly pro-life because it's biblical.
Come on.
It's biblical. I don't need to share stories about what ifs and this and that. No, we choose life every single time because it's Bible.
Yeah.
Now, there are situations and all those things why that is so important to be a part of a church. It's so important to seek God and have a relationship with God. All those things. So we're not going to be nasty. We're not going to be rude. But I will be firm and I will be bold. When there has been millions of babies aborted, millions, over 40% of Gen Z has been aborted. 40%.
Wow.
Of little boys and little girls who aren't, they don't get to see the earth. Now it's all under the radar and all behind the scenes because the enemy hates to be exposed in the light.
Yeah.
So these are lies that we can just be comfortable with if we're not in His Word.
Yeah.
But the more you're in God's Word, the more you burn with desires and passions that God has.
Yes.
Number 3, the Word is our weapon.
Yeah.
Let's go. This is the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
And if you guys, when you were little, like playing with swords?
Yeah.
Come on, yeah. Right? I mean, my kids yesterday, we got these hiking sticks, and they're all girls, and they're literally all just like, you know, about it. This is our sword. What are swords used for? Cutting, man. Chopping. Stabbing. Removing limbs. Defense, right? This is our sword, but many of us, we never take it out of the sheath.
Yeah.
And God's given us a weapon, so let me just be very basic and simple. Every one of you, you're going to have problems. Welcome to life.
Yeah,
your life is hard. Welcome to it.
Yep.
Yeah, you got kids and you didn't sleep. Welcome to it. Yeah, you get sick. Welcome to it. Yeah, when people are rude and mean in the world, welcome to it. Get your sword out.
Come on.
Get the word of God. Let this build your life up. You ever wonder what sets people apart? I mean, they're just not fazed by the world. Where they can go through like immense tragedy, like something your church has walked through, and all of a sudden, like, you're wondering, are they really okay? What's going on? I don't get it. Well, it's because the word of God is in them. They really believe it.
Amen.
They really believe this stuff.
Yeah.
There's faith connected and attached.
Yeah.
Because there's a history so deep with God that nothing in this world could rip it away.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Come on. The word of God is our sword.
Yeah.
Too often we believe the word of man more than we believe the word of God. We allow lies that have been spoken to us if you're a kid or at a workplace or somebody that you're close to one day, that word, all of a sudden, that lie becomes gospel to you. And you believe that over the very words that God has spoken over you as His kid. You're not in His word. We believe lies of the enemy, simple little thoughts that we just fall into believing because we're not using our sword. How about Romans 12:2, one of the greatest scriptures in your life and mine? It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. If you want to learn how to grow in your Christianity, you have to renew your mind.
Amen.
Every single person, we have a sinful nature inside of us. Some of you, like me, probably more prone to sinning. Probably more prone to doing the wrong thing. Probably more prone to your mind wandering, your eyes wandering, your habits wandering. And you must get back to what the Lord said. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God. With prayer, with showing up at church, with serving something bigger than yourself and your life. These are the things that help keep us in check. We renew our minds with the Word of God. Truth, the truth trumps facts.
That's right.
So it might be factual that you're going through a health thing. Anybody, raise your hand right now. You're going through some health stuff. Raise your hand. Yeah, that's like normal. Yeah, you live in the cursed world, man. Our food is America's jacked up. It's hard to eat healthy. It's expensive. It's hard to like do all the right things. And one day kale's good for you. The next day it's poisoning your body. Yeah. One day meat's great. The next day it's all veggies. One day vegetables is awesome. All of a sudden veggies kill you. It's like, what are we doing here, right?
Yeah.
It's hard, huh?
That's real.
There's going to be things in your life that you walk through. But we got to believe God's word over the world. We got to believe God's word over life. And what's crazy is we get to choose. You get to pick what you live with. Jesus regularly quoted the scripture and responded with lies. He responded to lies with the truth. What did he say often? He said, it is written. It is written. It wasn't responses of just anger. It wasn't these emotional things. It's like, well, actually, the Word of God says. The Word of God says. The Word of God says. Now, I'll make it very simple for you. You can Google. You can chat. You can grok. You can, what are all the other spawn? You can look up all these scriptures. Very easy, very quickly. You could say, scriptures on healing, bam, you got 40 of them right there. You could say, scriptures for anxiety and fear. Scriptures to overcome depression. Scriptures, and it's literally that easy. You can just Google these things, guys. It's been made very simple. I want to encourage you, whatever your situation is in your life, find out God's truth. If you're struggling with like, what do I believe? How do I figure these things out? Turn to God's word and see what God does. See how he will transform your life. When I was young, like many, I struggled with lust and opening my eyes to the wrong things, and pornography and Instagram, and all of a sudden, you know, you live in this world and it's like, it just comes at you at every angle. It's crazy. The ads on YouTube and all these things, it's just like coming at culture. It's disgusting. I struggled with these things, and I had to replace the lies in my mind with the Word of God. I had to get God's Word. No, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am the head and not the tail. There is no temptation that has overtaken me that is not common to man. And the God that I serve is faithful and will provide a way out. I had to get the Word in my heart to truly believe this stuff. So parents, when you're going through stuff with your kids, you gotta have the Word.
Yeah.
Man, I pray over our little girls every night. I have the fear of the Lord. I want my kids to know God when they grow up.
Yeah.
You know the world that we're sending our kids into right now, how crazy it is? So we speak the Word over them. We pray over them. We thank you, God, that our children will serve you all the days of their life. I thank you that you protect them from all wickedness, corruption, and disease. I thank you that they walk in the fullness of your promises in the name of Jesus. We confess and pray these things every day with our kids. Why? Because the truth brings freedom.
Yes.
They will know the truth one way or another, baby. With that being said, here's how I want to end our service today. There's two things. An opportunity for salvation. If you don't know God as your Savior, you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know like how to get to heaven, if you're going to heaven, I think most of us in here, you've done that, so I'm not trying to like manipulate feelings, raise your hand for salvation. That's not it. But I'm going to give the opportunity because this is wrong. This is the most important decision you can ever make.
Amen.
After that, we're going to have just a moment of repentance. Where if you say, you know what, I need to take God's word more seriously, and I need to read that book. I need to invest some time in my life into this word. I need to learn the truth better. You need to repent and say, God, I have not treated this well. I have not been faithful in reading your word. I just see the Lord like in heaven. And we've got these problems and we're like, I know, here's what I saw. Maybe this speaks to you, but I saw a guy driving in his truck on the highway. Maybe it's this highway, maybe it's a different one. There's just this pent up frustration and anger inside. Where you've been bound, you've been trapped, and you've been struggling. And you're thinking of the things of God, but you're not sure what to do, where to go, and how to deal with things. You're not even sure how to pray. I want you to understand, God sees you. Whatever that man is in here, God sees you. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything you've done. He sees you, and He wants to help you be set free. This morning is a moment for you to turn to Him. So with that, I'm going to have everybody stand up. If you've never given your life to Jesus, you don't know Jesus as your Lord, it's very simple. Every one of us, we were born into a sinful world where we need a Savior. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What that means is we can't stand in the presence of a perfect God when we have sinned in our life. Raise your hand if you've ever sinned before. Right? It's everybody. And when you realize the weight of that, it's like, whoa, I actually need Jesus. Like, I truly need Him, because you and I, we deserve hell. That's like, there's no good on this earth. You like to say, oh, there's good guys. Listen, I get it. There's some nice people, but there's nobody inherently good but God.
That's right.
Jesus was the only one. So every one of us, we slip and we fall, and praise God that there is grace. And His name is Jesus.
Yeah.
So God, He sees the issues with Adam and Eve. They sinned first. It opened a whole can of sin to the earth. All of a sudden, earth went from like new heaven status, heaven, to a dark place because sin had to enter the earth. So in their disobedience, because of one man's decision, you and I get to reap the benefit, but what's beautiful, because of one man's other decision.
Yeah.
Right?
Death reigned, now life can reign. So God sent Jesus to live a perfect life, that His sacrifice on the cross would be our reconciliation. Meaning, when God sees you in heaven after you receive Him in your heart, He doesn't look at you through all your shortcomings. He doesn't look at you through all your sin. He sees you through the cross.
Amen.
We will hold an account absolutely for the things that we do. And we will be weeping before God, every one of us, saying, thank you for the cross of Jesus. You will know what you did, what was wrong, what was right, and God will look at you through the paid price of Jesus' blood.
Yeah.
All you have to do to receive that today is say, you know what, number one, I need God. I need Him. I want Him, and I believe that God sent Jesus for me. It is an absolute faith thing. I'm not here to try to argue and prove scientifically God's existence and all this stuff. You need to listen to what God is saying inside of your heart. It takes faith to believe in this book in the first place. It takes faith to believe in God that we cannot see with our eyes. And so this is a faith moment. I want everyone to just put your hands out like you're receiving the gift. If this is you, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you want to do that this morning, can you raise your hand and we'll pray with you? Awesome. Anyone else? We got one out here. Anyone else? Okay, awesome. Just a little disclaimer. If you're nervous, you don't like raising your hand in front of people, I get it. I would love to talk with you after service. If you want to talk, I am here. Pastor Sandy, prayer team. I mean, half of these people would love to meet with you and discuss. So that's the thing, man. We're all about this.